I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Federal prosecutors are asking a judge in Los Angeles to review the decision to release a former FBI informant with links to Russian intelligence.
Why would you release him?
Why is everything with Donald Trump goes
the
back to Vladimir Putin?
The guy has flight risk written on his forehead.
And they go after Hunter and Joe Biden, and it's about Russia. So anyhow, charged with lying to the FBI about Hunter and Joe Biden during the 2020 presidential campaign. The move comes after a federal judge ordered Alexander Smirnov to be released during a detention hearing in Las Vegas on Tuesday, but with several restrictions, including GPS monitoring and surrendering his passport.
Well, that was Morning Joe, Mika Brzezinski, the female co-anchor, also wife of the host, Joe Scarborough, talking about the arrest of the FBI informant, Alexander Smirnov, indicted for lying specifically about the president's family and alleged dealings in Ukraine. And earlier today, he was rearrested in Nevada. And, of course, when you were hearing her say that he got released the other day, it might have been a lot of confusion to some extent, but let me break it down for you. Morning Joe Scarborough immediately said, why release him? Why release him? He's got flight risk written all over his forehead. I cannot recall a single time previously that on that program or any leftist state-controlled media program where they've complained, why was somebody released from prison or jail? The whole idea is no bail, no bond, you're free to roam about the country. You just ran into a car, crashing it into a young girl, cutting off her legs, let him go. He was already supposed to be on a strap around his leg. A monitor had cut it off. That happened in St. Louis. The other day, a guy is arrested on a charge of murder, finally, after 2 days prior to that, he had severely beat a man almost with an inch of his life. Nobody bothered to arrest or put him away. How many other cases like that across the nation on a continuous basis of crime, actual crime at the harm of other humans? No bail. Let him go. I've never heard Joe Scarborough talk about they've got written on their forehead, we'll do it again. Repeat offender. Serial rapist. Let him go. This is where it breaks with me each and every time when it comes to the left. I can shoulder and bear and just kind of deal with some of the nonsense that were being presented by them. But the hypocrisy that suddenly you've got a guy that was supposedly going to be a major informant against the Bidens on getting money directly through Hunter and others for possible treasonous deals, and they had him in custody on those charges, then they let him go? Why would they do that? But where are you crying out for those who've lost loved ones, killed by someone who is drunk, in the country illegally, or just on a killing spree? Welcome to the second hour of Larry Connors USA. Here we are, February 23, 2024. It's a Friday, but we're still here doing this job for you. We're here Monday through Friday for you. You can hear us 6 to 8 p.m. And don't forget, when we're on the air, we're also streaming video. You can see it at News Talk STL Facebook, Twitter, or Rumble, or Larry Connors USA Facebook, Twitter, Rumble. I really encourage you to watch a couple times. you'll quickly become addicted. And then you'll want to share with others, which I also encourage. But it's also a way for you to pull up and see part of a program you missed or listen to it. You go to LarryConnorsUSA.com. Everything goes up as a video and audio podcast. It's reachable through that. Also, Larry Connors USA Facebook. So there's no reason for you not be able to pull it up and see it unless we have some technical glitch. And when I finish today with what I'm going to say about Google and its artificial intelligence, we might have a lot of glitches. Stand by. Stand by. We do not know how big this is going to get. Sound the klaxon. Dive, dive, dive. Well, we're not going to dive. We're going to continue to stand in their face. And I invite you to join us to do it. So let's go back to Morning Joe and how they want to absolutely decimate this guy, because he was being identified, not by name at that time, by James Comer, the White House chair of the, the House Committee on Oversight. And then you had in addition to him, Jason Smith of Missouri, of Ways and Means, and then Jim Jordan of Ohio, Judiciary Committee. They were all naming and saying, this FBI informant claims that he saw and knows people that were directly involved in giving money directly to Hunter that would in turn be given to his daddy. Now that he's facing these charges, why? Because the FBI decided he lied about a couple of things. And therefore, everything he's given, even though the FBI used him for decades, paid him lots of money, suddenly he's suspect. Well, how he's suspect, and if it's a legitimate reason to question him, still needs to be determined. But let's just go ahead and let the Morning Joe team explain.
Prosecutors called 43-year-old Smirnoff a serious flight risk, and point to his extensive foreign contacts, which include someone in charge of a group whose job it is to carry out foreign assassinations.
Yeah, I don't
that's not good.
We want to release him on his own.
And whom Smirnoff implicated in a lie about Hunter Biden.
That Republicans in Congress swallowed up.
Yes, they
Russian
did.
Russian disinformation.
Whole.
Great job.
Prosecutors also contend Smirnoff's lies present a current danger of election interference. The judge has not yet responded, and an additional court date has not yet been set. Smirnoff has been key to the House Republicans' impeachment inquiry into President Biden, and Republican House Judiciary Chair Jim Jordan insisted yesterday that Smirnoff's indictment for lying to the FBI does not change anything.
No, it really doesn't, because when they tell you this informant's information was chief, it was part of it. And they have others. They have whistleblowers that have information. And they have those nasty, pesky, just dog around your heels that will not let you be, bank records and documents. It's like any prosecution case. They seldom rely upon one piece of fact. And if in fact it is true that some of the things Smirnoff claimed he saw or was witness to or was in a position where he would know, if they've got documentation to show he wasn't anywhere near there, well then that does shoot down that part of his story. It shoots him down as a potential trustworthy, credible witness for that particular thing that he's alleging, which I had mentioned yesterday, and I'll bring it up again, because if you were trapped in some way or sentenced to jail or a friend or relative was on any kind of statement he had made in the past to the FBI, I'd be clamoring he lied on that one too, and I want out of jail. I mean, once you're proven someone's credibility is not what they claim it is, then everybody gets out a free pass. Or they should. But now today they decided to not let him walk about. They now have taken him back into custody, rearrested in Nevada. It's not just going to let him go with taking his passport and putting an ankle monitor on him. They want him back actually in custody. Prosecutors claiming that he repeatedly lied to his FBI handler, whom he'd worked with for more than a decade and should not be trusted. Huh. They didn't seem to have any trouble trusting him and going along with it when the target was not the Biden family. Does that raise a question mark over the whole thing? Here's Elig Honig, the CNN legal analyst.
It happens sometimes. I'm not making an excuse. I mean, it's a reality of life that confidential informants like this guy go off the rails. It's the FBI's responsibility to try to make sure that doesn't happen. But when it happens, you have to make a decision. Are we charging this guy? And the fact that they're charging this guy shows me that they believe, A, he lied, B, in a clear, provable way, and C, about an event of enormous consequence. If you look at the documents around the case, it's clear that this guy lied to the FBI about, he said he was in meetings with people at times and places when he could not have possibly been in meetings with those people. They disproved what he said by looking at documentary evidence. But yes, it's a black eye for the FBI.
Black eye, and they have proven by talking to other people that it's not true. Well, are they telling the truth? Let's go back to the claim by 51 former intel agents of our government that signed off on a letter that Joe Biden pulled out of his pocket in the debate with Donald Trump when Trump started talking about how the intel agencies were hiding and covering up the Hunter Biden laptop and so forth. And he said, I've got 51 intel agents written down here that have signed off and said it had all the earmarks of Russian collusion. Note the wording, earmarks of. They didn't say it was Russian collusion. In their view, that's what it would be. But I've yet to hear anyone answer my question. Did they ever actually look at the documents in the laptop information? Or did they just take the word of someone else and said, hey, can you sign this? And by the way, my girl selling Girl Scout cookies, can you sign on that one too? I'm telling you, that's probably how it went down. Because I'm willing to bet money that not one, not even one of those intel agents who signed off and saying the Hunter Biden laptop was Russian collusion, they ever saw it or saw anything on it. But they just made that conclusion because they were asked to. And the target was, oh, that's right, Donald Trump. And you heard Joe talk about how can they just accept the guy of a guy who's a serial liar as an informant and the Russian collusion thing. Here comes Maryland Congressman Jamie Raskin.
I was hopeful that Chairman Comer would be announcing today the end of the whole impeachment investigation. It's been a wild goose chase built on conspiracy theory and lies from the beginning, and now we know that Russian intelligence operatives were behind creating the propaganda and disinformation at the very foundation of this investigation. So I think it's time for Chairman Comer and the Republicans to fold up the circus tent, and we should get back to work for American people.
Isn't that what we suggested to Adam Schiff, who never had a witness he said he was going to produce, who never presented any documents he said he had, and for every member that went in and testified behind closed doors and would come out and say, and appear on state-controlled media, well, I can't discuss particulars, but I can just say it's going to be bad for Trump. All giving you the illusion of what's inside the tent when everybody had already left. But now suddenly, oh, we should just dismantle everything. Because the FBI claims this informant is a liar. You have to give them credit. They know how to play both sides of the board and cheat while doing it. Joe Biden is looking bad in so many different ways in polls, regardless of demographics. You look at geographic demographics. You look at gender, minority voters. But he has some plans to buy some votes, especially one target, young voters.
Tens of millions of people in debt were literally about to be canceled, their debts. But my MAGA Republican friends in the Congress, the elected officials and special interests stepped in and sued us. And the Supreme Court blocked it. But that didn't stop me.
No, that did not stop him. That was President Biden yesterday bragging that the Supreme Court could not stop him from canceling another $1.2 billion in student debt loan. So far, the Biden administration has forgiven nearly $138 billion in student loans for 3.9 million borrowers.
That is Maria Bartiromo framing Biden's remarks in context. Let me stress it again. So far, prior to what he's trying to do now, again, 163 new borrowers, student loans will be forgiven. 153,000. My bad, I couldn't read it if it's 605. Nearly 153,000 borrowers would now get their loans canceled under the new Biden plan. That's according to NPR. And as you heard Maria Bartiromo point out, that's another $1.2 billion in student loans. Thank you for paying for my child's education. For those of you who paid or didn't pay, and now you don't have to worry about it. Or for my education. That makes a total now that he's already tried to forgive $138 billion. And the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that that does not qualify. You have no right to cancel those debts. So what is Joe Biden doing? In your face. Joe Biden's ignoring the rule of law as issued by the Supreme Court. I thought he was all about protecting democracy and what we stand for. The Supreme Court said, you cannot forgive those debts. You have no authority to do it. And he said, I'm going to do it anyway. And why? Because I'll get votes. I told you he's trying to buy votes every way he can. I want you to hear the view of Utah Congressman Burgess Owens.
Let me just start by saying this. The last segment, somebody mentioned that there's a group, the media does not want to fact check Biden. Let me just newsflash.
Yeah.
Biden is not God. And the Democratic Party needs to get their heads around that, realize that we do have rule of law in this country. And I think this is going to be a case study. We look back on history on a president who just does not care about rule of law. He's lawless. You know, he does what he feels he wants to do. He shows up to the border. I'm just real quick, shows to the border to show people what's going on down there, and he cleans it up before he gets there. So whether it be the border, whether it be the inflation, the fentanyl, what's happening to our education, this is a man who does not care. Does not care about rule of law. Does not care about our country.
Does not care about our country. Thank you, Utah Congressman Burgess Owens. And he's absolutely correct. If the Supreme Court made the ruling, you can appeal it. You can always do that. But he's just unilaterally going to say, nope, I'm going to wipe out another 153,000 borrowers having to pay back their student debt, which would amount to, as I said, according to Maria Bartiromo, that would be another $1.2 billion in student loans. And by the way, may I remind you that we're still handing out $1,000 credit cards, rechargeable debit cards to illegals in New York City, and they're working on a plan in Chicago to do it. And in D.C. yesterday, the mayor, Muriel Bowser, was going around giving away $10,000 checks to illegals. Where's the help for the working man and woman of America? Not through this administration. Coming up, the sanctions against Russia. And more. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Question, do you know what vermiculite is? It is an insulation in the attics of hundreds of thousands of homes and public buildings. Looks like kitty litter, but often contains asbestos. Wellington Environmental is the largest company in the Midwest that can remove that hazard for you. Wellington has what is called the General, a powerful industrial vacuum that can suck vermiculite out of the attic. Hang on, there's something else you should know. Many of you might qualify for up to a $4,000 rebate. You should at least contact Wellington to see if you qualify. And here's something else. Wellington arrives at the time they give you, not sometime within 4 hours. 314-644-4930. 844-493-0. WellingtonSTL.com. WellingtonSTL.com. Wellington Environmental. Your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
Talk radio made in St. Louis.
Very excited for what you guys are doing for the St. Louis community.
For St. Louis.
Relevant local talk.
Saying what we are thinking.
This is News Talk STL.
No, you guys are awesome. I love you. And it really, it's a tremendous honor to be on the station.
News, analysis, and opinion.
Thanks for covering the local and global.
People, this is America.
We better open our eyes.
Really local? Really good.
News Talk STL at 1019, 941,
and NewsTalkSTL.com.
Make plans now to be at Lit Cigar Lounge this month. Lit is hosting numerous events. That includes live music. And there's an easy way to check on what is happening and when. You simply go to Lit Cigar Lounge Facebook. By the way, to go to Lit, you don't have to be a member. Everyone is welcome. Just another reason that Lit won Best Cigar Lounge 2 years in a row. Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield. Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield. Lit Cigar Lounge on Facebook.
Hey, St. Louis, my name is Rob Carter. My new primetime show will explore the collaboration between corrupt media and our corrupted political system. From manipulated elections, open borders, mandated medicines, and unconstitutional lockdowns, what is going on?
The Rob Carter Show.
Let's talk about it on The Rob Carter Show. Join me weeknights from 8 to 10 p.m. on News Talk STL.
Rob Carter, live and local, weeknights at 8 on News Talk STL. This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
It's sort of an open secret that our sanctions haven't been nearly as effective as they were expected to be and as we announced them to be. There's two reasons for that. One is the administration itself. All administrations, Pete, suffer and are challenged by making sanctions effective. It takes detailed work every single day to track exactly what companies are doing, what countries are doing, even though they committed to the sanctions. And this administration has had an open valve here in not being as effective as they should be. The second reason is Russia's allies and friends have significantly helped to bail them out here, mostly China. My sources have indicated that China is the number one provider of their consumer goods. They are also, while they don't provide an end state in terms of a weapon itself, Pete, they provide much of what is needed to create a weapon. And that has significantly helped the weaponization of Russia itself. To give you a sense of it, Russia's GDP growth is in excess of 3%. That is staggering when we're supposed to put them on their heels and in the tank.
In other words, their gross domestic product output is growing at 3% a year when they should be, as retired four-star General Jack King was saying, in the tank. He's also a Fox News analyst and was on there discussing these new sanctions that got issued by the Trump administration. They got telegraphed yesterday. We told you they were going to be coming today. And now we've seen details of them. But it doesn't really change anything. What it really does for me is raise a lot of big questions. As first, why now? Oh, well, Larry, I'm glad you asked that question. Tomorrow marks the second anniversary since Russia invaded Ukraine. That's right. The 24th tomorrow will be the second anniversary, the invasion of Ukraine. If Russia thought they were going to just go in and roll over the country, and many feared thought they would, Ukrainians fought back valiantly, with blood, courageously. But the issue we're facing now is, how can we continue to support that war if and supporting protecting their border if we're not protecting our own border? The problem is, again, in the Biden viewpoint, Ukraine first, not America, Ukraine first. Israeli money tied to that also, that makes you Israel second. Money for our border, yes, but not really to stop the inflow. That makes America third on that list. Now, today, Biden is, word is out, he's considering using something Trump tried to use. They're not going to call it remain in Mexico or stay in Mexico, but basically going back to a law that will say you cannot come here if you cannot show asylum. You're not even allowed in the country. You got to prove it before you get here. Unless it's an imminent type threat, as with the fall of Afghanistan when we pulled out in the middle of the night and the Taliban took over. We did bring a lot of people out. Most were supposed to be those and their families who had helped us while our troops were in country. But we also don't know for sure that we didn't bring Taliban members out. Why? Because we did not properly vet them. We were told they were, but we now know they weren't. And those coming across our open border, we have no way of vetting because you don't find anything that you could use to get verification on them. All right, I went down that rabbit hole, didn't I? Let's go back to these new sanctions on Russia. They're calling it, according to the New York Times, the most extensive package of sanctions on Russia since the invasion of Ukraine 2 years ago, targeting Russia's financial sector, military-industrial complex, in a broad effort to degrade the Kremlin's war machine. Jack King pointed out in that interview, we cut it a little short for time, he also pointed out not only is there gross domestic product up 3%. They're spending 9%+ of their total effort on military. I think it's probably higher than that. I'm surprised it's only 9%. But this supposedly today, these new sanctions being used by Biden will shut all that down. We've had sanctions on them, and it hasn't worked. We have sanctions on Iran. That hasn't worked. We have sanctions on China. That has not worked. Why do we think this will work? Because Joe Biden says it will. And he'll bring an end to the war in Ukraine. But the other timing issue is the death of the opposition leader for Putin, Alexei Navalny, who died in the Polar Wolf Siberian prison. While out for a walk, sudden death, just died. Just hours after he was on a video hearing with a judge about some part of his case, and they were laughing and joking. What'd they do, give him laughing gas that killed him? I don't know. His mother's not been able to get his body yet at last report. She fears he was poisoned. She wants the body before the body maybe dilutes the poison in such a way it can't be detected. Or, and my thought is, they'll give him to her in an urn, that they will cremate the body. But President Biden at the National Governors Association for their winter conference of governors pointing out again that we need to respond to the imprisoned activist death of Navalny and, of course, go after those who imprisoned him. Oh, and yes, by the way, Ukraine too. And he said in a statement, the failure to support Ukraine at this critical moment will not be forgotten. So again, he's telling Republican members of Congress, if you don't help us go forward with money for Ukraine and shut it down, you're hurting our sanctions. He's going to blame the Republicans if the sanctions don't work. That's the game. And I already tipped you to it, didn't I? My bad. I apologize, Mr. President. I did not mean to give away your playbook. I'm sorry. But when it happens, you can remember, oh, yeah, Larry Connors said that was going to be played like that. And it's not because I'm so intelligent or I've got secret intel. It's just knowing your enemy. And this enemy in particular has no regard for this country. We know how many illegals have come across to some extent, but we don't know how many for sure. And we certainly don't know how many illegals have come across that are coming in here not on claims of asylum, but because they plan to do harm to our nation. And we talked about this extensively. Hundreds of Chinese military-aged men, single, have been seen coming across the border, sometimes in groups of 30, 50, 60, sometimes coming across the middle of night, sometimes caught on with a, they're caught seen carrying camouflage gear. Why would they do that? Florida Congressman Donald says, these military-aged men from China coming into our country, no, no, no.
They got no business in our country, except if you really want to take a step back and think from a diabolical perspective that, yes, the Chinese government is moving people into our country. Yes, people in the Middle East, they're moving military-aged men into our country. But they have no place here. There's no persecution that's going on that they can document. That's why asylum is supposed to happen outside of our country before you come in, unless it's something that is clear and present that everybody in the world can see. And then, of course, we make special exemptions when those things occur.
Now, of course, when those things occur, as the Florida congressman was saying, was like Afghanistan. The fall of Afghanistan, we knew that anybody that the Taliban could identify that had worked with our troops in any way, maybe as an interpreter or helping fix some of the equipment when it broke down, they and their families would be slaughtered. So we had to get them out. And yet, there's no doubt we left many behind, and we brought many here that should not have been brought here. They did nothing to help us. In fact, they just got on the plane under false pretense, but now they're in the country, roaming about who knows where. And those who are coming across the border at night, again, we have a legal immigration system, even for asylum. And every year, we allow 1 million immigrants to our country from various countries around the world. Sometimes it's a lottery system. Sometimes it's based on other issues. But the bottom line is, no other country has just suddenly opened its border and said, come on in, from anywhere and everywhere. Canada will not let you go into their country and remain, if that's your intent, unless you can prove that you're going to be of value and contribute to their society. Which brings up another point. A lot of the focus on the southern border. If you're a terrorist group trying to get some terrorists inside, you know the southern border is wide open. You can do that a lot, and you probably will, and bring in drugs and traffic children for things you don't even think about. The northern border is also supposed to be closed. But more and more reports of illegal crossings coming out of Canada into our nation. I think we're surrounded at this point. They're coming from the south. They're coming from the north. Canada, in the beginning, when these illegal immigration started under the Biden administration, they were finding many of the in Canada, they had come all the way through our states. They didn't want to stay here because they were afraid they would be deported, so they were going into Canada. Canada rounded them up and sent them out. What have we done? Taken money, supplies, resources intended for American citizens and given it to the illegals. Coming up, I've not had a chance to focus on frozen embryos being children, according to the Alabama Supreme Court. Stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I'm always glad to have new sponsors, but I have turned some down. See, I only endorse clients if I believe in them. And I've been a spokesman for John Beal for 10 years. Through those years, listeners said they went with John Beal because they trusted me. And just recently, a woman named Mary wrote, we got a John Beal roof based on your recommendation. Thank you, Mary, and all the others for calling John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Sometimes you want to do something extra special for someone. Vincent's Jewelers can help you. Maybe you want to do something for yourself, mark a date, something you accomplished. It doesn't have to be anything really expensive, but it has to mean something now and for the future. Vincent's, locally owned, just asked for the chance to work with you, as they have with me, on Olive, just east of 270. Every day, new specials at vincentsjewelers.com or Vincent's Facebook.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
I have a personal story about why I trust McGuire Moving and Storage. A relative needed to escape an unhealthy relationship. Josh, Christine, and the McGuire team were understanding, even comforting. That's why I'm honored to endorse McGuire. Since 1935, McGuire has been moving and caring for families. So, moving a home, office, local, or long distance, McGuireMoving.com, McGuireMoving.com.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
My next story is placed at this position in the report of today and through the week only because there have been other things I've allowed to go to the forefront. I've been watching it and waiting for an opportune time, and I thought I'm at a point now that I just cannot let it go unnoticed again. Let's begin by a discussion of the court overturning Roe v. Wade. That, of course, Roe v. Wade was considered by many on the left to be law of the land. You had a right to an abortion, constitutional right. There is no such constitutional right. It never was. But then in June of 2022, the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade, the one that had been upheld for decades. June 2022, we're approaching 2 years of it now. And every night, I thank God for the thousands and thousands of lives of children who've been spared because too many were simply accepting it was a constitutional right and no one was going to try to stop a woman from killing a child through abortion. And Planned Parenthood was making money left and right, and their lobbyists, and those legislators who supported them. It's also been my prayer that these hundreds of thousands of children that have been saved will become future leaders of our nation and lead us to a new and higher ground. Some states, of course, still allow it. It basically was sent back to the states by the Supreme Court. And it's not our decision, should never have been a U.S. decision, it should be a state decision. And some states have done it, some are working for it, some trying to codify it into their state constitution, as they are in Missouri, to say that a woman would have a right to have an abortion, make it part of their constitution in the state. When Trump was in office, like him or not, we knew, and I was insisting, keep in mind, the justices we had on the court at that point and their health and their age, very possible Trump was going to get to appoint a new Supreme Court justice. And I would rather him make the choice than Hillary, who had gotten the Planned Parenthood Margaret Sanger Award, which now Planned Parenthood tries to look away from Margaret Sanger because she's been called out even by members of the left as being genocide for black children. And that's where most of the abortions take place, is in the inner city. That's why they put their Planned Parenthood centers accessible for them. Now some women in some states, if they can't do it, they have to travel out of state. And it could be the cost, the travel, whatever, they can't do it, so they end up having the child. Well, I pray for the child to be a blessing to the mom, and for the mom to be blessed by having the child. And again, for the child to turn into a blessing for our nation. But when Trump had that opportunity, he ended up being able to appoint three justices to the Supreme Court. You remember Ruth Bader Ginsburg would not resign, even though Obama was pushing her to leave. She apparently believed that Hillary was going to win, and she probably wanted Hillary to replace her. Well, that didn't happen. So then she's on the bench, and Trump is president, and she dies. Trump gets to name her replacement. And Ruth Bader Ginsburg was one of those who said, abortion never should have been at the federal level. That is a state issue. She made that argument. She was not on the court when Roe v. Wade was passed. And when she was nominated by Bill Clinton to be on the court, she said, I don't know if I'll get through because many women will hate me because I would not stand for abortion as a constitutional issue. Didn't mean she wasn't for it, but just looking at by law. That's what you want your justices to do. They all carry baggage and things to that extent, but they're supposed to be able to put it aside and look at the law. If you're a liberal advocate, you're going to make the law read what you want it to. Same can be said of a Republican. I will acknowledge that. So I hope our justices are looking at the law itself. But let me read you from a quote from a very well-known liberal court justice, Supreme Court justice, put there by Obama. And she had said, let me get the exact quote. I don't want to misquote her. Bear with me a second. I had this quote, and again, I want to make sure I do it right. I do not want to misquote Elena Kagan. She was referring to judges' decisions, and I cannot find the exact quote. I wish I could, because I always encourage you to trust me. I mean, not trust me blindly, but be able to look up and whatever I tell you. Let me try one more search engine real quick, which I may have a problem with Google, and I'll explain that in a moment. Again, this is Elena Kagan. She certainly was aware of the ideological divide the Supreme Court had. Supports an ethics code for the court. She mentioned that, but that had to do, of course, with the view of going after Clarence Thomas. She also said Supreme Court justices are not imperial. Those are all good things. I'm not looking for that particular thing. The thing I'm looking for basically had to do with the issue that could relate to abortion, but I can't find it. My bad. I'm sorry. But she is one who would voted for keeping Roe v. Wade. Basically, her opinion was, and she stated it in numerous speeches, there are cases where someone may come forward with a case and they lose, but then they come back, and she was specifically referring to maybe someone dealing with an environmental issue, a company that is facing taxes or penalties or some criminal environment or a violation for violating EPA rules or so forth. They lose their case. But 10, 20 years later, they look, the environment has changed. new justice is on the court. Let's try it again. And they do, and they get by with it. So that's what she's suggesting. As the court changes, rulings might begin to change. Which brings us to the ruling out of Alabama. The Alabama Supreme Court ruled that frozen embryos are children. Critics and experts of all types are saying that's an unprecedented decision, first of all. But critics say it could have a chilling effect on access to IVF treatments in the state of Alabama. IVF is, of course, in vitro fertilization. And then they say there's a bipartisan effort underway in the Alabama House and Senate to draft clarifying legislation that would protect in vitro fertilization treatments. The Alabama House Democrats introducing a bill establishing fertilized human eggs stored outside a uterus are not considered human beings under state law. Republican state lawmakers expected to file similar legislation, but they're unsure of the timing. All of this is medical experts and critics fear the court decision, which can put those who discard unwanted embryos at risk of being held liable for wrongful death, could have a profound effect on fertility treatment options in the state, and devastating ramifications for those trying to build families through in vitro fertilization. So let me narrow it down for you very quickly. In vitro fertilization is a way to maybe have the egg fertilized but stored for a future, maybe for the same family. And one of the cases that we're referring to are cancer. Cancer treatments can cause infertility, but cancer patients, survivors, still want to build their family. So while they're still relatively healthy, they use IVF to fertilize and maybe create a baby in their own image sometime down the road. Well, at least three fertility clinics in the state of Alabama have halted certain IVF treatment programs, fearing their medical personnel could be at legal risk because by the Supreme Court ruling in Alabama, frozen embryos are children. You can't just throw them in the trash if they're not going to be used. One couple that said they had to leave Alabama or risk losing their eggs after that ruling, and they're trying to, the woman says, I'm trying to hold myself together emotionally because she and her husband conceived their first child through IVF and hope to use it again. But they face the possibility of being stationed in Alabama, which means they would not be able to move their embryo if they relocate. In other words, it would be like telling them, your three-year-old has to stay in the state of Alabama. Only the three-year-old hasn't been born yet. It's still an embryo. We'll have to see how far that Supreme Court case goes in Alabama. Obviously, there are appeals underway, and there's a plus minus to it. A plus that it re-emphasizes embryos are children in development. In development. But then you also have to worry that if you have this attitude that embryos, even if they're being carried, are a fetus, let's move to the next stage of fetus, they're dispensable, you just simply throw them away or leave them behind. We don't want to go down that road. But unfortunately, that's where some of us have been put, with those who are trying to push abortion everywhere, all over again. All right, now let me turn to this Google Artificial Intel Gemini program. It was supposedly a mistake because it said, search and show me George Washington. Well, he appeared, but as black. Search and find me an American Indian chief. Again, he was black. The Pope, a black woman. Not one white person featured in that Google search of history.
Google is now changing gears and publicly apologizing after its new AI software created images of black, Native American, and Asian people when prompted, but refuses to do the same for white people. The New York Post is calling it a, quote, history lesson. After the software generated racially diverse images of our founding fathers and other historically white figures. Fox Business's Kelly O'Grady is live with more details on this. Hi, Kelly.
Hi there, Emily. And yeah, you know, when Google controls roughly 80% of the search market, you see this happening with its chatbot, and it raises concerns about historical inaccuracies, companies potentially pushing specific narratives. Now, to Google's credit, they have paused their Gemini image generation product.
So that American Gemini project had some problems. Well, most of us, when we first started learning about computers, we were quickly told, junk in, junk out. So was artificial intelligence being manipulated? That explanation from Kelly O'Grady of Fox.
Now, Google has acknowledged these issues. They said, quote, or rather, they will release a new version soon. And then they told Fox Business, we're working to improve these kinds of depictions immediately. Gemini's AI image generation does generate a wide range of people. That's generally a good thing because people around the world use it. But it's missing the mark here. Elon Musk jumped into the fray. He's not giving his AI competitor a pass, saying, quote, the woke mind virus is killing Western civilization. Google does the same thing with their search results. And so it brings up a broader concern. For a lot of people, Google is synonymous with informing yourselves, right? It's a verb, Google it. And so you've got search algorithms that are built by people, AI that's trained by companies with a specific narrative.
Yeah, if they have a specific narrative, it could be that you Google search Larry Connors and I pop up as a crossbreed Asian Dalmatian female. Who knows? Whatever they want to make me. It is artificial intelligence after all. So Google wants to tell everybody, oh, it's just, you know, a little mistake in the coding there somewhere. We never meant to do that. If you're driving and I ask you to raise both hands, do not do so. But those of you who think that it was probably planned all along that way, raise both hands, unless you're driving. They didn't do it by mistake. I've got a piece here from Sean Davis from The Federalist titled, The American Stasi Controls What You Hear and See to Control What You Think and Do. He's referring, of course, to the Stasi, as it referred to in Russia, the oppressive spying law enforcement regime under the Soviet Union being used against the East Germans when the wall was still up. He said, right now, all the entities of big tech, corporate media, federal agencies, they're all together. Just different systems within the same organism. Different roles and functions, but their overarching goal is total power and control of you. So if you engage in activities at the test, like going to church, speaking at a school board meeting, the Stasi of today will label you as an enemy. His article in The Federalist continues and says that the regime will happily censor targets and pat themselves on the back for being, quote, on the right side of history. And he adds that at no point does the American Stasi engage in self-reflection and wonder who's the real villain. They've already determined that. It's you. You're the villain. Big tech overall looks at you, me, those of us who stand for our own rights as patriots, regardless of your color, your ethnicity, your religion. You're a patriot. They might look at you as being an enemy. I consider you friend. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.